This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the show. Get ready to perhaps batten the hatches. What is it going to look like for hurricane season this time around? The predictions are not great. So as a result, the president is increasing the budget, doubling the fund to prep for extreme weather. So what does that look like? $1 billion. This is the way to account for all the damage that sometimes happens with the hurricanes when they whip through, and initially what the response is and how quickly the National Guard can be mobilized in whatever particular area it is. I give Biden credit for reaching out to all the governors of states that usually get hit hard, especially in the South and the East, many of them Republican governors, to say, hey, listen, let's talk about some damages and what you normally see, and really kind of crunch the numbers a little bit. And they did that. So there you go. That's a good thing, right? That's some cooperation. And if you live in an area that has a hurricane bearing down on it, and you need that aid, you need that help, you need whatever, somebody to come and to rescue you as quickly as possible. Well, you don't want to be worrying about red tape, that's for sure. And we've seen it. We've seen things that have happened, like Hurricane Dorian, where if you go back to 2019 and you look at what could have possibly been a disaster, and you look at the path that it might have been on, and then you look at the political nonsense that went on with that between the president and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and the tug of war over where is it and where is it on the map. It was crazy, right? So kind of heading that off. It always gets politicized when it comes to money and who needs it and what happens with these emergencies and what direction is it going to take. And can you get the federal resources and the funding as fast as possible? You know, Alabama governor, the Alabama governor certainly knows what that's like and knows that you got to jump on the horn immediately when something's going on. So the Alabama governor was one of those involved in the conversation, right? Getting that money to the people who need it. I think of, like, what happens in places where they're not expecting it, and then they're struck in a very bad way. And I think Katrina really sticks out the most for so many people because, and I toured so much of that area, and many of you have too, you had the water and what happened with Lake Pontchartrain, and really the water was the thing that just crushed New Orleans. And the actual winds and those kinds of damages from the hurricane smashed into Mississippi, right? Like Biloxi, Mississippi got smashed. And so you had one thing happening in one area, one thing happening in another, and that's the kind of extremes that you certainly can see. And depending on how many hurricanes hit or tropical storms that batter, especially the Gulf Coast, you know, that's when you need the aid. So that money again was doubled, preparing for that extreme weather that is predicted. All right. In the meantime, while that's happening, the vaccinated and others have decided that it is time to come out in a big way, and we're starting to see crowds are gathering again at live music events. In my unofficial poll that I threw out a couple of weeks ago, you know, it's pretty much running 60-40 as to whether or not you're going into crowded areas. I got one from Shelley who said to me over the weekend, it was great. You talk about live music a lot. It was great to go and hear some live music again. And I was in a place where pretty much anyone who had an instrument was getting up and they were playing, even though there was a what we call a house band. Yeah. Give me it. Give me that axe. I'll try. 163.9 million vaccinated in the United States. That's, what, 58.5% of the eligible population, because now younger are getting the vaccine. 12 and older is that number's included in there. And 49.4% of the total population. These numbers are from Johns Hopkins University. So from Johns Hopkins University. And, you know, there still is concerns over variants and what we're seeing in India, and you know, trying to stay ahead of what you know, what's around the corner. But it does feel like the worst of the worst is over in the United States anyway, and some other places in the world, because the number of hospitalizations are down, the number of positive cases are down, and that's a good thing. More people are getting on planes, and for some reason they're a little rowdier, so be careful if you decide you're part of the rowdy crowd, because there's a very low tolerance for that, and you do have to wear a mask, and you will be fined if you decide you're going to start some sort of a fight. I mean, it's crazy. Every day there's somebody saying something on a plane and acting a fool that causes maybe even the plane to have to, you know, have an emergency landing and then go back up. But anyway, immediately people are being issued fines. Yeah. So how about that? Las Vegas is, you know, we did a lot on Las Vegas and how hard hit they were during the pandemic. We had entertainers on. We talked to other people that were part of the Convention and Visitors Bureau and what they normally would see there. It's one of the big convention areas, just like Orlando, Florida is in the United States. And, boy, people are starting to come back to Las Vegas. There are ways that the casinos, at least with shows, are social distancing still a little bit more. And tourism is rebounding. But hard to make those predictions. You know, everybody's in that gearing up stage, gearing up and seeing, you know, what's coming in. Like I said, more people are jumping on flights and more people are figuring out areas that they want to go or where can they get a break and get a boost and, you know, go someplace and feel like they're out among people again and they're connecting. And, you know, there's conventions that normally are just giant in Las Vegas. In pre-pandemic years, conventions and trade shows raked in about $11 billion annually for the Las Vegas area, and thousands, tens of thousands of workers. So a lot of people were hit hard there. They had high unemployment numbers. You know, if you look at what the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Bureau was telling me, and you can see it, they're as it was described, I read it somewhere, the spigot was totally turned off. But now restaurants and all that stuff is, they're starting to see that it's starting to fill back up. So if you travel, where will you travel? Where do you want to get out and go and feel like, yes, I need to get away? Is this one of the places that you would put on your list? Stay with us.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Excited this time around to have Jennifer Hanley on with us. Jennifer is the North American head of safety at Facebook. She oversees safety policy for the U.S. and Canada. She works with internal teams, external partners, government stakeholders on all kinds of issues, women's safety, child safety, bullying, digital well-being, and suicide prevention. She has really an incredible resume. We could go on and on about that. But we want to get to the heart of the matter, which is so important. According to the Better Business Bureau, there are people that are spending more time online, of course, as we know, and there's been an avalanche in the number of online scams since the start of the pandemic. Last year alone, the Better Business Bureau reported that that type of crime has risen more than 25% compared to the previous year. Wow. So June is Internet Safety Month. So like I said, she's in our virtual green room. Jennifer, thanks for coming on. I mean, this, I can't tell you how many conversations I have with friends about this every single day. It really has exploded, hasn't it?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And it is, it's Internet Safety Month. It's a great chance to remind everyone about staying safe online, and scams are a really important thing for us to be talking about.
So how do scammers target people? I mean, how do they pick them out, and who's the most susceptible to it?
You know, there isn't one group of people that's most susceptible. We're all susceptible to scammers. That's why we do so much behind the scenes to help keep people safe when they're chatting with family and friends on Messenger. And we've even built several features to keep them safe. For example, we have things like safety notices. These pop up to help you decide if you want to chat with a person who might be suspicious. They're powered by our machine learning technology, and the pop-up has suggestions about, you know, for you to check on whether you want to be, you know, you're being targeted by a scam, whether you want to interact with the person, and you can decide what you want to do. They also alert you if someone with the same name and profile image as one of your friends is trying to contact you in case that might be an imposter.
Ooh.
We have
Yes, that's definitely something to look for. What are some red flags that we should also look for to not fall for some of these online scams?
Yeah, absolutely. absolutely. There are definitely some patterns and red flags to look for. So to protect yourself from scammers, you want to watch out for people asking you for money if you don't know the person. We see scams where people are asking for advance fees in order to receive a loan or a prize, requests for gift cards. That's a big one we're seeing right now. Requests for bank information. You might also want to look for bad spelling, poor grammar. Those are some red flags, as well as someone asking you to take the conversation off of Facebook. If you were messaging with them and all of a sudden they want to talk to you on another platform or providing an email address instead, those are some things to look out for.
Yeah, and you told us some of this, but is there something else that we should look for? Because I know you're developing tools and settings all the time on ways to avoid scams, so I can only imagine Facebook is fabulous at this, that you're probably working on other things.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of features that can help keep you safe. We build all these features with privacy and safety by design. They help you stay in control to avoid abuse, like scams that we're talking about and other potential harms online. One thing I encourage people to do right now as you're thinking about staying safe is take a look at your privacy settings. We have privacy settings on Messenger. Those are kind of your go-to guide for defaults and controls, so you can decide who can message you, what you put into your message request folder. That's an important thing. So in addition to the privacy settings, that message requests folder is where we're filtering messages from people that you haven't been in contact with before. We made them even safer. So when we put the message requests into that folder, we actually block links and images and videos until you decide that you want to interact with that account. That way you're not seeing or clicking on anything that might be a phishing scam, for example.
Yeah. You know, if we think that we're being targeted by a scammer, what should we do if we think that's happening? What other things should we do?
You know, the one really important thing to do is you don't have to respond. If you think you're being targeted by a scammer, don't respond and then report it to us. Reporting is incredibly helpful. If you see something that's fishy, it just doesn't seem quite right, let us know. And don't worry, we're not going to tell the person that you reported them to us. We never let them know. Even if we take action on their account, they won't know it was you who reported them. So go ahead and report them, and then you can also block them. That way they don't try to contact you again.
Yeah, I said this again in the beginning about just it's so crazy the amount of scams that we've seen. And you've done this for a while, even right before Facebook. Have you seen anything like this, Jennifer?
You know, we definitely see a lot of scams and a lot of people trying new things all the time. That's why we're using technology behind the scenes to really help prevent people from reaching you with scams in the first place and filtering out spam and all sorts of stuff. I've been seeing this for years, and that's why I'm so excited to be talking about this, to make sure that people are aware of it and make sure that they know that there are features that can help keep them safe.
Yeah, boy, I so agree with that. Really know those features. And like Jennifer said, don't be afraid to report it. They won't know. I think that's such a key part of what you said during this interview, because I think a lot of people are afraid to do that because they're afraid of repercussions.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I said it's anonymous. It's like a neighborhood watch program where you see something, say something, go ahead and report it to us. We'll take a look into it then. So if you see something suspicious, report it.
Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us. Jennifer Hanley, North American Head of Safety at Facebook. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, internet fraud, it's so rampant. It was interesting what she had to say about what they're doing, because they know there's open ways that people can get to people. But you look at these scam artists defrauding millions of people by using internet services or software, and they have all kinds of tricks to pull victims into sending money or giving out personal information and that kind of thing. You look at phishing, spoofing, which is fake emails, text messages, copycat websites, which some of them look so good to commit identity theft, or they can use it to, of course, rip off your personal information. And personal information, when you give it out, means, you know, like credit cards, bank account numbers, debit card PINs, passwords, so big in some of these breaches. The data breaches happen when, you know, that financial information is out and it's leaked or it's posted from a secure location. And, you know, the worst would be the stealing of identity, you know, having your identity stolen or some kind of financial fraud wrapped into that. You know, last hour we talked about malware, ransomware, what's happening with companies and how dangerous it is because it disables computers and computer systems. And we saw that with the Colonial Pipeline. So it's pretty rampant. I mean, there's no question about it. The fake websites, the emails, the malware, the scams that, that you watch out for. And there are top ones in COVID-19, the pandemic. We talked about that provided scammers with fresh opportunities to try to go after people. And, of course, we all have heard of the Nigerian letter scam, but still it continues to fake a lot of people out, despite all the warnings. And then there's, I think some of the worst, I mean, I get them, all of you get them, I'm sure. I think some of the worst are the fake health organizations, like they pose as the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, and they offer cures and tests and other COVID-19 information or government sources that are obviously phony, but maybe not so obvious when you see it. They have payments saying you owe, and it's the Internal Revenue Service or somebody locally, or you even had websites that had fake products. So they had face masks, hand sanitizer, disinfectant wipes, and high demand products, and of course people never get them. Never get them. And the disaster relief scams, that they've been around for a long time. When there's any kind of a natural disaster and trying to con people out of money for that. And then I mentioned phishing scams. And the phishing scams are probably the most common attacks still on just an individual consumer. Where, how many people fall prey to that, and what does the average person lose? And it's in the neighborhood of, according to the FBI anyway, it's in the neighborhood of $500 per person. And collectively, if we go back just even a couple years ago, that figure was at $57.8 million. Oof. It's that tricking people to click on a link or open an attachment. And that's what a fake invoice, a link to make a payment, claiming you're eligible for some kind of a refund, a suspicious activity or login attempts on your account. That's another one. It's hard, right? Because some of them really, really, really look like it's from the company that you do business with. So be careful before you click on some of those links, for goodness sake. Great advice, too, from Jennifer Hanley from Facebook. Stay with us. Meet you on the other side.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden announced Monday that more funding will be available for states to assist in preparations for natural disasters. Speaking at FEMA headquarters, Biden said that the available funding will be doubled.
Today, I'm announcing that FEMA is going to make a $1 billion available to the states, territories, tribes, and rural communities through the Building Resilience Infrastructure and Communities Program, so-called BRIC program. That's going to double the funding available of last year, and it's going to help communities.
And the FBI and Capitol Police are investigating a suspicious package sent to Kentucky Senator Rand Paul that contained a white powder. The envelope was sent to Paul's Kentucky home. Fox News reports the package also contained a threat of violence. You're listening to USA Radio News. A newly disclosed intelligence report shows that three researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology sought hospital treatment in November 2019, reigniting a debate over the origins of COVID-19. Former national security official with the Clinton administration and Atlantic Council senior fellow Jamie Metzl is calling for a full and open investigation into the virus's origin. He tells CNBC that it's critically important to find out where the virus came from.
There's a reason why when a plane crashes, we do everything possible to understand what happened. Until we know other planes are in the air, until we know how this pandemic started, we're all unnecessarily at risk. And that's why from day one, from the earliest days of the pandemic last year, I and a small number of others, and it's great this number is growing, have been calling for a full investigation into all origin hypotheses, including that what I see is a very likely possibility that this pandemic started from an accidental lab incident followed by a criminal cover-up.
This is USA Radio News.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Edwards joins us now. She's written a book that I think is so important. I've never actually seen someone write a book like this that I think can help so many people, that is especially young women, but older too, grapple with the way they're perceived based on their figure, based on being overweight. And the name of the book is You Don't Want to Lose Your Girlish Figure, A Struggle with Childhood Obesity. Mary, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome.
So tell me about your life and the struggle you had, because that led to, we talked off the air, and that led to somewhat of you writing this book.
Yes, when I was a child at the age of 8, my father suddenly passed away of pneumonia. He was only 38 years old, and I had a very close bond with him. I was his heart. And I was the youngest of 6 children, and my older siblings, they were much older than I was. In fact, my eldest sibling, she was 14 years older than me, to give you an idea of the age difference. And so when he passed away, I just suddenly felt so all alone, and I was pretty much traumatized by his passing. And so I pretty much turned to food to compensate for the loss of my father. And I didn't realize it until I became an adult that I overate to soothe myself. I was so unhappy, and I was grieving the loss of my father, and the only way that I knew how to cope with his loss was to overeat to soothe myself and to cope with his loss. In addition to that, my family dynamics changed after his passing. My siblings, they didn't any longer treat me the way they used to when he was alive. I was no longer the little princess in the family. And my mother, she no longer had time for me, and she was working 2 and 3 jobs. So I was pretty much ignored and neglected and left alone a lot of the time. So I would just stay at home, and I would bake and sit and watch TV and eat and bake and eat. And I just became overweight because I was alone all the time, and I just ate to fill the void in my life of unhappiness, and it was a way to fill the void. And so my mother, she was very hospitable. She was from the South, and one day she invited this guest to come over to our house, and she wanted to introduce her to me. And so the first words that came out of this lady's mouth, I never met her before. She didn't ask my name. She didn't ask my age. The first words she said were, "You don't want to lose your girlish figure." And I was just surprised. I didn't understand what she was saying because I was only 11 years old. I was going through puberty, and I felt, well, you know, I'm entitled to have a little baby fat. I didn't think I had a weight problem. My mother didn't say anything about my weight. My siblings didn't say anything either. So I didn't understand what she was saying to me. But somehow she knew that even though I was 11 years old, I was really overweight. And she was concerned that I would grow up to be a fat slob, and I wouldn't have a girlish figure and be alluring and attractive as a young girl. And so that was when I was first aware as a girl, a young 11-year-old prepubescent girl, that I was expected to grow up to have a girlish figure and not be a fat slob. So after that, my mother's other girlfriends who knew her well and who had worked with her, you know, they brought it to her attention, too, that I was just overweight, that she needed to do something about my weight problems. My mother was pressured, really pressured to take me to the doctor to put me on a special diet, to have me lose those extra pounds so that I would have the girlish figure, and so that she wouldn't be under pressure by her friends.
Right.
So I lost the weight, and I slimmed down. I had the girlish figure, and I was then pretty much admired by my mother's girlfriends, and everything was okay. So that was when I realized that, you know, society can pressure women, young girls and women in general to be a certain size,
right,
and
yeah,
to look a certain way and to project a certain physical image.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wrote the book.
Yeah, and you talk about in your book, and this is important for people listening, because your story of why that happened to you, of the loss, et cetera, then how you were treated, you want empathy for obesity in society. You talk about that, and then you talk about things that, you know, look what we do. We celebrate everything with food, weddings, funerals, baby showers, birthdays, everything. And then people who are depressed, they find solace, and you talk about it, in overeating, a comfort food to make themselves feel better. So what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I want people to become aware that obesity and being overweight should not be stigmatized. And it's very stigmatized in our society in this 21st century. And there's many reasons why people are overweight. It's not because they're lazy and they don't exercise. That could be a contributing factor because of our high technological society that we live in now and all the fast food restaurants and the, you know, highly fat laden foods that are processed in our society that they're manufacturing now that are approved by our government. But in reality, there's genetic and biological reasons why people are obese in our society as well. And that we as a society should have empathy and understanding why some people are obese and not stigmatize obesity and not blame people for being overweight. It's still highly stigmatized and not accepted in our society that people are obese. And it's a real problem. People are continuing to be obese in our society because of poor diets. And it's a health problem because, as I say, of the high processed foods that we're eating in our technology. But we should not stigmatize people for it. We should be understanding. And with the pandemic that we're in, people gained weight for being at home and not being able to get out and exercise and be more active. So some people gained up to like 20 pounds.
Yeah.
And some people gained weight because they were depressed and feeling unsafe because of the epidemic, and they gained weight for those reasons too. So we have to be understanding of the reasons why people gain weight. There's psychological factors as well. So we can't stigmatize people for being overweight or obese. We have to be empathic. So I'm just wanting to convey in my book that there's many different reasons why people are overweight, and we have to accept it and not stigmatize them.
I think you said that there. I mean, that's it. And so where do we go from here? We have like less than a minute left. Where do we go from here?
Well, we have to work with our government. Our government needs to have more policies in place and regulations within the government so that people are not discriminated against and that there's no biases against people who are overweight. It's not just being stigmatized. People are being discriminated against because of their weight problem as well within employment and education and other sectors within our society. So it's not just a matter of not liking you, not wanting to be around you because you're obese. There's also the problem of discrimination and bias with being overweight.
And we could talk about that all day long. You don't want to lose your girlish figure or struggle with childhood obesity. Mary Edwards, thanks so much. You can get it on Amazon. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kate.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
All right, this time around on Author's Corner, we go to the West Coast to talk with Nancy Mangano. And Nancy's interesting because she's got a lot of things that are, I think, are fascinating that are happening in her life. Think of movies, think of writing screenplays, think of having a fashion magazine. And then she's got our main character that we're going to talk about in her book, Murder Can Be Messy, Natalie North. And she's got, as she said to me, 3 Natalie books and another one on the way, because there's a big fan base that is certainly out there that is swelling. Nancy, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about your background first before we go into the book. So how did you start out? How did you crack the code of writing and putting yourself in that position where you have all these incredible things that you're involved in?
I've always loved to write, and I've always had a desire to do a lot of different types of things. And I don't know how I can say about writing. It's just in me, and I knew it even as a little girl. And then in high school, I had an English teacher tell me I should be a writer when I grew up. But at the age of 16, 17, who wants to write? I didn't take it seriously as a writer. And then as time went on, it stayed in the back of my mind because I just loved to do it. And then when I really got serious about it, I started with a novel, and it just wasn't enough, and I always wanted to do movies. And so then I just kind of, in the back of my mind, I knew how to do a screenplay. I could watch a movie and just kind of make sense how it went from scene to scene to scene, and I had to learn the basics, but I just kind of knew how to do it, and I just put it all together, and I love it.
Yeah, and how it's so competitive when you talk about, screenwriting, but there's more opportunities now, too, right, with streaming and all these other networks?
Oh, there's so many more, but at the time there really weren't, but I'm one of those kind of people that I don't really pay attention to competition. I just kind of do what's inside of me. And I couldn't imagine. People would say to me, Nancy, screenplay is so competitive. But I would think, why would I go into something I don't really love just because it isn't as competitive? Like, that made no sense to me. And I just, inside of me, maybe I'm a dreamer. It turned out to be even more difficult than I envisioned. I thought I would write a screenplay, get it made, write a screenplay, get it made. That's the joy of dreaming. And when you get that kind of a passion, it doesn't stop you.
Yeah, good for you. That's what you were supposed to be doing. So you just go full speed ahead. And then how do you also end up doing a fashion magazine? How did that fall into your lap, or how did you create it, really?
Because if you would have asked me at the age of 10 or 11, what would you want to do? I would have said, been a fashion designer. I want to be a Halston, or I want to be a Versace. And that was kind of really my dream, but I couldn't sew. I can't sew for the life of me, but I love fashion. I love everything about it, from head to toe and outfit. And since I love that too, I thought, you know, I want to do something that I really enjoy, but some kind of blog for my writing and my authors to get to the readers. But I want to pick a subject that everybody around the world loves, and that's fashion. And I just started doing it more as publicity for me. And on every post, I would just kind of put about my books and that at the bottom. And then it got so fun to do, and it just took off. And now I kind of keep it just totally geared toward fashion, style, and beauty. I'll put my books on there occasionally, but it's really more a magazine, and it's completely free, and it's read globally, so anybody can go to it.
Yes, so tell us that again. Tell us the address.
It's struttinginstyle.com, all one word, struttinginstyle.com.
Perfect. That's easy. Strutting in Style. That's a strong title. And speaking of strong, your character is so interesting. Tell us about Natalie North. Natalie North is, of course, in this book, Murder Can Be Messy, and two of the other books as well. Tell us about Natalie.
Okay. I have three books, A Passion for Prying, Murder Can Be Messy, and Deadly Decisions. And once again, I guess what I've really done, and I would recommend this to people, I take like things that matter to me, things that I love, things that I know about. And when you put that in your writing is so easy. And it's not even work to me. It's a joy. So I've always had an interest in law enforcement, and I majored in criminal justice as a minor, and I got my major in communications, radio, TV, film. But when I was like 22, 23, I worked at the Orange County Sheriff's Department. I wasn't sworn personnel, but I worked dispatch. I worked in the jail. I worked different divisions of law enforcement, and I loved it. And I always thought it would be so interesting to be a detective, but I didn't want to actually carry a gun or work the streets. So when I started writing books, I thought, why don't I take what I love about law enforcement and make her a private investigator and let her solve crimes? But what she really does is they trail cheating partners. And she gets real tired of that and wants to work serious felony cases. And she gets herself involved in murders.
Wow. So Murder Can Be Messy. Tell us about the plot in this one for Natalie. What happens with Natalie there?
Blake and Victoria Belmont are a real powerful Beverly Hills socialite couple. And Blake is CEO of Belmont Beer, and he's worth billions. And his wife, Victoria, suspects that he's cheating, and she does not want to lose any of his money. So she goes to visit Natalie to see if Natalie can trail him to see if he is cheating. And I won't tell you what she finds out, what Natalie finds out, or how the book weaves, but that's it.
And so
Victoria hires Natalie.
Victoria hires Natalie. Boy, and you don't, there's these kind of tales happening in California, and we're so intrigued by them. And you having that background where you worked in Orange County and you had, you know, you saw what it was like. I mean, it's like you said, you fill up your books with what you know about. What do your friends say about the Natalie books?
Oh, they love them. And another fun thing for me is because I've always, you know, I live, you know, right around here. So I know the streets of LA. I know the streets of Hollywood. I can put real things in there. And like I know Dean Koontz does it in his books too, from Orange County. And, you know, he'll take your readers down streets that I know from living. And so I do the same thing in LA, and Natalie will take readers down streets that they really know of, and various places in Hollywood they really know of, and that. So that makes it even more fun for the reader. And yeah. You're right, with my background in loving law enforcement, I was even, in addition to an editor, you know, I was really able to fact check all of the law enforcement details because I could use actual police officers.
Yeah, that makes a difference too. When you, it just goes back to that writing what you know and being able to check it, and what a difference in the writing. And I love that she's such a super sleuth and such a strong woman. I mean, just a great character that you came up with.
Oh, thank you. And she's fun. And I have to say, when I really write all these things that I'm writing, it's just a joy for me. And I understand authors. Like Jackie Collins, I used to hear her say in her interviews that the characters write themselves, and they really do. I won't even know the ending of my books. I will have no idea. I don't top my books all out and write to the end. I write as I go along. And before you know it, the characters are telling their own story. And I'll laugh sometimes at things that come up because it isn't Nancy doing it. It's like Natalie doing it or Norton doing it. It's very hard to explain to somebody that doesn't write. But when the book finishes, the characters are the ones that have told the story.
Yeah. What do you hope people walk away with when they read your books?
I wrote these books on a standpoint of bringing people joy, bringing people fun. There's a lot of serious in the book, but I weave humor through it in that. And morality wins out of the end. I don't have great morality tales in there. I didn't want to do that. But, you know, right generally wins, wrong generally goes down. All I want someone to do when they close that book is say, oh, that was so good, or, oh, I couldn't put it down, or I didn't want it to end. Just bring some happiness or joy to somebody's day.
I like that. So that puts the pressure on you for that fourth Natalie book. We'll be looking for that next.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Nancy Mangano, it's easy to find her, and you can go to Amazon to find any of those books. Murder Can Be Messy, the one that we specifically focus on. You can find it there. Nancy, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, Kate. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and the show. Make it count, everybody.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.